established in the bulletin. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name.
Amen.
Please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For the boys and girls to come forward at this time, I should like to talk with you. How are you?
Mama.
Well, today is a very special Sunday, boys and girls. You notice that My stole is white. So are the altar cloths, known as the paraments. They were green last Sunday. They'll be purple next Sunday, but they're white today because today is known as Transfiguration Sunday. And our gospel lesson talks about three people on top of a mountain, and a cloud comes. Jesus was all dressed in regular clothes, but his clothes shone with brightness. A cloud came down. A light was there, and the voice of God was heard through that cloud. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. So today, we remember Jesus as he is changed. White, glistening cloud, light, voice. This happened to Jesus. Now, boys and girls, one very important thing about what was said. Jesus was there with some very historical figures. Moses, the lawgiver, Elijah, the great prophet, and then himself. And God's voice said, now you listen to him. Don't listen to Moses anymore. Don't listen to Elijah anymore, but listen to Jesus. And that's what Christians have been doing ever since. We have been listening for Jesus. So every time we see white on the altar cloths and the preacher's wearing it, remember that's something that happened with Jesus. Either he did, had done, or was done to him. Because white is a symbol that God's glory is present. Listen to the voices around you. Listen to Jesus. Listen to God. And in your heart, through your mind, think about what God is wanting to have happen at that moment. So let's have a prayer together. Dear God, it's a special day in the life of Jesus when he and the disciples met with Moses and Elijah. Their clothes were transformed. They were very white. Jesus' clothes was very white, were very white. And the cloud came, and the voice, your voice, God, it spoke. You speak to us on every occasion, but let us especially be reminded that when we see a cloud and the sun shining through it, that is very similar to what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Thank you for these signs, and thank you for the joy that you still talk with each of us every day. Amen. And thank you all for coming up. In our bulletin, we have a number of prayer concerns, a list of people who are not well, recovering from bereavement, still others who are shut in and simply cannot get out as they used to. We have a lot of flu flying around. Virginia and I have had it this week. I'm doing about 85 or 90% today. But she was wiped out and is extremely weak today. So it's not fun. You all have had this sort of thing too. So we hope that the flu will fly away eventually. But it's pretty rough. So please stay in, take care of yourself, and don't do like I did with Virginia and share it with anybody. Because that's pretty rough and it's not even nice, is it? We also have tragedies in our community. Well-known people who've spent much of their time in their life helping others. Let's keep those situations in our prayers as well. And folks, with the weather coming upon us, please use your judgment as to where you go, if you go anywhere. And while it is still pretty, drop by one of the stores and be sure you get something to eat that you will have at home. Because one weather forecaster said, we likely won't get above freezing until about Saturday. So I guess it's who you listen to, who you read, and what they've seen lately. Because as we know, the weather changes depending upon when people tune in. So let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings upon all of us. Shall we pray? Dear God, we are grateful for prayer. We are grateful that you listen to us as you have promised. We give you thanks that we may talk with you. We may commune with you. We are grateful for opportunities to be picked by you, to do your bidding, and to share the love of Jesus everywhere. Dear God, there are many things that we lift to you with our corporate prayer today. First of all, we need to confess that we have not acknowledged you as the creator of the universe, that we look around and we assume that we have done this, or we have developed this, or that some factory or creative genius has made this. But let us recognize that things come from you, because you are the creator, you are the sustainer, and you are the redeemer of this your, not our, but your creation. Lord, help us to recognize that we are your servants too, and that you do need us for the developing. You do need us for creativity that you give to us. You do need us in so many different ways to witness to your love in a world that is disintegrating before our eyes. We know very well some of the pain, sorrow, and sadness which all of us encounter every day. Sometimes it is with poor health. On other occasions, it is suffering bereavement for people who have passed to the other side. On still other occasions, it is the breakdown of community through violence, through being hurt. On still other occasions, it is simply because we haven't had the time or made the time to reconcile with family or friends. We are grateful for the example of Jesus, who taught us to love our enemies, who mentioned to us that we needed to overcome evil with goodness. Help us every day to take stock of who we are and where we are in life. Let us always be a credit to you and to your realm. We beseech you, O Father, may your kingdom come through us and not be held back because of us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the joy that it brings to so many. Bless those who couldn't come for a number of reasons today, and bless us who are here. And may all of us be glad that we have come into the house of the Lord today. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Now we come to the time in our service for the giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. The ushers come forward. Thank you. All things come from you, O Lord, and of your own do we give back to you. Please use your tithes and our offerings to further the work, your work, through this church, through the church's ministry and mission, through the for the needy throughout the world. Amen. The scripture lesson for today is found, first of all, in 2 Kings, the second chapter therefrom, and then from Mark chapter 9. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know, be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, and they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other side until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I'm taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And now the gospel lesson. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart from themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they'd seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Amen, and here end these readings from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer. Be present with us, O Lord, during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. All of us know very well about multiple levels of reality. You see it in relationships. I'm a person. I'm a son. I'm a brother. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I was a preacher. I am a teacher. And so on. Multiple things that we all do and are. This is the way life is. The same is true when we read the scriptures. We are to look for multiple levels of reality that are functioning with what we are reading. Now, I don't know about you, but if you follow that first scripture, you see there's a lot going on between Elijah and Elisha and the other prophets who were there watching, the baiting of Elisha saying, Do you know your father's going to be taken away from you? Yes, be quiet. This was repeated a number of times. On the one hand, he's grieving the loss of his mentor, his father. On the other hand, he's trying to relate to people that bring him news, as if he didn't know it. So he's dealing with pestiferous people. He's grieving himself, and he knows that he's going to be left alone, all in the same package as they make their way to the Jordan. And then Elijah comes up and smacks the water twice, and it splits, and they walk on dry ground. Now, where have we heard that one before? It's in the Exodus, of course. God has a way of pushing natural elements away from us, given the opportunity. And he also gives us the opportunity to take things into our hands by being creative. We really need to have something happen with this mountain or this water, and we can build cofferdams, or we can build passageways through the mountain called tunnels. All of this works together with God's creativity, but sometimes we fail to notice that when Elisha, who would be given a double portion of Elijah's spirit, when he saw the chariot, the fiery chariot, and the horses take in the whirlwind his father, he tore his garment in two. Now, this is something we need to remember. Oftentimes, it is indeed overlooked. The wind in the Bible, people would take their garments and they would tear them. And that is a symbol that their soul is torn. It is an outward symbol of a reality, another level of reality going on inside. Now, this gives us a very important clue as to how to deal with reality when part of us is being torn apart by things that we can't help. The rest of us has to keep going. What do we do? Many times we simply, what I call, puddleize. We just shut down and cry. That's helpful, but it doesn't get us to another level of being of reality, namely of being productive, as many of us have to do, no matter what or how we feel. This is what it means, or part of it, to profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are professing, meaning we are professional. And since we are professional, we will get up and do the job whether we feel like it or not. Now think about that. There's much to be done. There always is. We can say, well, for this reason or for that reason, I just don't think I can do that. But as a professional Christian, one who professes Christ as Lord and Savior, we will do it anyway. It's like those wonderful professional ball players. I told you I liked sports. They may not feel like playing football or baseball or basketball, but they get up and they play anyway. Why? They're professional. They profess to be the best that their team needs. So as a professional prophet, Elisha is acting out his grief by tearing something. Keep this in mind. When we are hurting and we really don't want to function as a professional Christian, tear something up. Let your grief be loosed on something tangible. Don't be sinful about it. Don't tear into yourself by overeating or mistreating yourself or somebody around you. Tear something inanimate up and it gets it out. And the soul sees that we're serious and the soul will give us relief. Try that. I have. It works. Many of you know it works too. Now, Elisha went all the way up into heaven. So here he's showing up in the New Testament. He's showing up with Moses on top of a mountain. Very likely it was Mount Hermon, which was a very tall mountain, close to Caesarea Philippi. Others placed the Mount of Transfiguration at Mount Tabor. Likely it's not so, because Tabor had a fortress on top of it in the time of our Lord, and this was a sequestered place, a lonely place. Hermon was closer to Caesarea Philippi, as I mentioned. So, what happens is, we got these disciples, Peter, James, and John.
They go up with Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus' clothing is bright. So bright they can hardly look at him. But they see Moses and Elijah and Jesus talking. Now, I've often wondered how those disciples knew it was Moses, Elijah. Did they have name tags, you know? Was the conversation such that Elijah, well, now Moses, you think this, don't you? Well, no, Elijah, I don't. And, oh, they heard them call each other by name. Who knows exactly how they knew it was Moses and Elijah? That's one level of reality with this, is to ask a very practical question. Peter's going to get practical too. Let's build some booths here. A booth or a small tent, a shelter. Let's just stay up here on the mountaintop forever. Wasn't Jesus nice by not even paying a bit of attention to the nonsense? Jesus was kind to Peter. On another occasion, Jesus rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," etc. Many of us, on our levels of reality, we will start talking before we know what to say. Is anybody guilty of that besides myself? Never. Jim, you've never. Jane, you know Jim pretty well. Is that true? Does he ever talk before he gets his mind in gear? Always. Now the truth comes out. We understand. But you see, how beautiful that one of Jesus' followers does the same sort of stuff we do. The mouth is working before the mind is in gear. My suggestion is that Jesus might have wanted Peter simply to watch, to pay attention, and above all else, to listen. Let's think about these people now. Moses, the great lawgiver. The person that brought the Ten Commandments all the way down from Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. This is what God wants. This is how you have a society. It gives everybody a fair break at living without fear of being hurt, murdered, or lied about, etc. That's Moses, a great, great, great person. But then there's Elijah. God gave the law to Moses, and we human beings, why, we could no more keep that law than we could fly. So God sent prophets. You better repent. You better repent. I'm telling you, better repent. Come back to me. Come back to the Ten Commandments, or else. So this is Elijah's role. He is the quintessential prophet. You got a lawgiver and you got a prophet. Now, which ones of us like to remind each other you're a sinner because you broken the Ten Commandments? Anybody judge another person because they've broken the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments? Think about that. It's pretty easy to see where people come up short, isn't it? We do it all the time. We look at the mirror and we can see, man, you blew it today, Bill. Wow. That's judging by the law of Moses. And our willingness to tell somebody that they have broken a Ten Commandment, that's being prophetic. That's being like Elijah. And we do like to be prophetic, don't we? Oh my, do we like to share insight on others' behavior as to what's going to happen if they don't repent. That's being a prophet. So we've got these highly influential people talking with a third person, Jesus. So Jesus now is affirmed as to what he's doing. The three of them are talking, glistening clothes, light, cloud, and a voice. This, Jesus, is my beloved Son. I'm very pleased with him. Listen to him. Now, friends, we can be excellent Jews and follow Moses and Elijah. But if we're going to be excellent Christians, we have to take Moses and Elijah in context and follow Jesus. What did he do? Well, let's follow the scripture. First of all, he told his disciples, don't tell about what you've seen until after I'm raised from the dead. Very likely they would have said, what does it mean by being raised from the dead, Jesus? This is out of their level of reality. They haven't clued in on it as yet. But Jesus walks on down in subsequent passages, additional verses. He walks on down into the valley and he says, look, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. No, you're not going to do it. You can't do that. We've got other plans for you. And so this causes quite a stir in the level of reality where the disciples are existing. What Jesus is doing is moving them from one level of reality into another. That's what he does with us. All of us come to Jesus with our own history. We come with our understanding of Moses, our understanding of Elijah, and the roles that they play still inside of us. But at one point in our lives, we have said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. This means we're going to stop acting like Moses is. We're going to stop acting like Elijah is. And we're going to look at Jesus and say, how did he relate with people? And that's going to be different. Because most of our culture is ready to go with saying what's right and what's wrong and who is right and who is wrong. We're quick. You and I follow Jesus. This means that we're to make a difference with our culture. This means that we have the chance to show what Jesus would do and how he would relate with the love of Christ, not the law of Moses, not the game called gotcha by saying you're sinning, you better repent. Jesus tried that with the prophets. It didn't work. So finally he says, I'll go down there myself. And I'll show them what I'm like. And I'll give them the opportunity to follow me through love. And we see this acted out all the time. I want us to be reminded of that. For example, we're delighted today because Becky Lane, she picks up when Wayne Canotti has injured his arm. He phoned when? Last night? This morning? This morning, this very morning. And Becky said, I'll step up. I'll be glad to help. This is the enactment of Jesus loving this church, caring about Wayne, wishing he were better, but at the last minute, the music for the service. This is what Christ does. That's people, different ones of us. Now, I couldn't do what you're doing. I'm sure you can preach. I can ask Don. But you get my drift. We have people anywhere and everywhere who follow Jesus who will say, yes, I'll step up. I'll do it. Exactly. So we have example after example after example of people who step up. Let me tell you something. We are so fed up with what's wrong with the world that I think it's amazing the world is as good as it is. If you think about it, it is people with the love of Jesus stepping in to keep things going. That's what Jesus is all about. That's what Jesus did, and that's why we're to follow him. But notice now where he's going. He's going back down in the valley. Peter wanted to have him stay up on top of the mountain by building a shelter, a booth, a place where they could stay. What one of us would not love to stay at the top of the mountain all the time? But Jesus didn't. He ignored Peter's request, and he went down into the valley. This is what's going to happen to me. He's going to be captured, tortured, killed, but he'll be raised from the dead. Now, this is what's happening to all of us every day. We are wasting our time if we try to live by the Ten Commandments. We're not going to make it. If we beat ourselves into guilt-ridden people because we've messed up, we're messing the boat too. If we think our job is to tell people where they're wrong, we're missing the prophetic part. That's not our job. But if we keep on trucking with the love of Christ, stepping in to help each other as we can, then that is where we are supposed to be, need to be, and will be. For example, I'm just thrilled as I sit back and watch all of us work together. I believe you said you had 70 at Love Kitchen. Is that right? Somebody said they always enjoy the Methodist meal because it's so good. And when do you cook for them again? Next month? Next month, 14th of March. Now, that's moving away. That's helping out for the needy. That's working the extra mile. It's not judging the needy. It's not saying, why don't you get a job? No, it's there. Here, have dinner on us. I am thrilled to hear that. I'm also thrilled to know that as Tommy Thompson and John Trimley and I had lunch the other day, there is a movement to have breakfast anywhere else, or would slip through the breakfast time. And to have breakfast once a month in our excellent facility. There's a movement for that. And I was also told last Sunday, we need a Facebook page. I want to step out of my comfort zone and do something to publicize this church on Facebook. Now, folks, this is what it means to follow Jesus. These are concrete examples. How many of us see the light and respond to the light? How many of us say, you know, I need something to do, or I'm going to mope about my situation until the kingdom comes? So this is a way of getting outside of ourselves and say, come on, Jesus, take me by the hand and show me what to do to make this old world a better place in which to live. Watch for the light. Watch for the cloud. Watch for the white glistening of our clothes. But mainly, listen. This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There may be those individuals who would like to unite in the fellowship of the church, others who would like to come to the altar and pray for prayers, ask for prayers. Our concluding hymn is, open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. It's number 454. We'll stand as we sing.
Let's sing.
Wednesday service at 6 p.m., the intention of ashes, and also the beginning of Lent. So please come, weather permitting, 6 o'clock here on Wednesday, or you receive the blessing. In peace, in joy, and in thanksgiving, people of God, go forth. Go forth and enjoy your salvation. Go forth and be a real credit to God and to his realm. Folks like us make the difference. Go and carry this responsibility as a privilege and enjoy your salvation to the fullest.